Now at Verizon, they're locking in low prices for 3 years guaranteed on my plan. And you can get a single line for just $45 a month when you switch and bring your phone. That's their best price ever on unlimited welcome with autopay plus taxes and fees. Guaranteed for 3 years. Because at Verizon, they got you. Visit your local Verizon store today. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Price guarantee applies to then current base monthly rate. Additional terms and conditions apply.
Taco to go, taco to,
and a big queue.
Taco to go,
taco to go.
We just review.
Quick Trip Taco, just $2.99. Comes with a big queue, this deal so fine. Brisket breakfast, so much to choose for $2.99. You really can't
taco,
lose.
Taco to go, taco to,
this deal legit.
Taco to go, taco.
Only at Quick Trip.
Taco to go, taco to go, taco to go.
$2.99.
Taco to go.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Tuesday afternoon. Hour number two brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing.
Love this square.
You can't,
we don't die.
You can't help it.
Can't help it. I'm going to shake it.
You're like, all right, it's just a bumper coming back from a break. We're fine. And like Randy let it go for a minute. He's like, you know what? I don't know. My body's feeling this now.
Miscle.
He's bubbling up. All right, we'll get to an NFL no huddle in a couple of minutes. Some NBA playoff conversation, probably around like 12:26. Because from 12:22 to 12:26, we're going to play the Greg Sankey audio from Destin, the SEC meetings, and react a little bit of what he had. Yeah, he's pretty fired up. And what's funny is, like, mad Greg Sankey is still, like,
pretty, really nice.
Pretty calm.
Yes.
Like, pretty, yeah. But he just kind of, his words are a little more direct, and you can see the veins popping out of his neck in the video.
Yes, parse.
So we'll get there. And then we'll get to the back page with the birthday boy, Bo Johnson, coming up at 12:40 as
well. Yeah, but he's,
birthday man.
Birthday man. I was trying to guess. I'm like,
how old?
Yeah, 48.
I think nine.
Nine? No.
You basically just add 2 years onto your birthday.
Okay.
Right? Years older than you.
Okay.
Eight.
Oh, eight. Okay. So you got it.
Okay.
You got it.
Yeah.
Okay. I think because a couple weeks ago you said you were 48, because sometimes when you get close, you'll just start calling yourself the next age. So I remember that.
I think that was you. Yeah, I think you did that based on math.
Yeah, I did that based on math.
Yeah, because this is the year.
Yeah, yeah.
77.
No, because you called yourself 48 a couple weeks ago. And I was like, oh, is he? Oh, you didn't do that? Oh, okay. All right. Well, whatever.
I don't typically say my age because people are so judgy when they hear like, oh, an age. And they're like, oh, wow, you should be acting a certain way.
Act like we're
looking a certain way.
Who says it?
Everybody. Man, society.
I think all 48-year-olds should hope to have the energy that you have.
Yes.
Like you, I don't know, you have the energy of a 21-year-old. And
very immature, thank you.
That's not what I mean. I mean, like you know, you go. You work your ass off, and you go. And you're not fat. Like, that's most, you know, that's good. You're doing great.
Yeah, man.
You got your hair.
Everybody's studying all that stuff, man. You only
got cool T-shirts.
The phrase that they say you're only as old as you feel is a lie. That's not really true. You're only old as you want to be.
What's the difference?
How you want to feel old. I don't – Bo is 48. Bo probably has more energy than people who are 38.
Yeah.
Or 28.
Yeah.
But people that are 28, 38 are lazy as hell, most of them.
Some
now,
of them.
Now, Bo work his ass off.
Yeah.
Bo got 14 jobs and he comes to the softball
team. It's true.
Yeah. I mean, that's energy. That's energy.
Yeah. So, yeah. Don't let your age define you.
Hell no.
Yeah. Define yourself.
Define your damn self.
Be your
punk.
Own definition.
Don't tell them to kick rocks.
All right. Let's get to an NFL no huddle. All right. OTAs begin today for the Atlanta Falcons. A lot of teams start today. A couple teams start tomorrow.
Yeah.
The teams with new coaches got the start already. But, what is organized team activities?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So generally, everybody's there for the most part, unless you're unhappy with your contract, right? If you're not at OTAs, that's kind of when we start talking about holdouts and stuff like that. Like James Cook isn't in Buffalo because he's unhappy with his contract.
Exactly.
According to Raheem, he hasn't seen Kirk today.
Yes.
Holdout?
Well, he's not. He just stayed coming.
It's a different thing, right?
Hey, man,
because he doesn't want like a different contract.
Yeah, no, he doesn't want a different contract. He wants to get the hell out of Atlanta.
He just wants a different team.
Yeah, he wants to get the hell out of Atlanta, and rightfully so. I mean, I understand what he's talking about. We're not wanting to be there, and I know Joe Patrick reiterated it. Ross said he has not seen him in the building.
Right.
So he might come through.
Right. Exactly.
He might just be running late.
So like they didn't say he's not here.
Yeah,
Raheem Morris just said I haven't seen him.
Yeah, I haven't seen him.
Okay.
And so that could be a case where he's running late or something like that. I know Jeremy Fowler was reporting that Kirk Cousins at the very least is on the Steelers radar. They're still waiting on Aaron Rodgers.
Mm-hmm.
They have a mandatory minicamp June 10th through the 12th. So
okay.
I mean, is that the timeline where you want to have him on the team so we can do a little something with the
Somebody
guys?
Had a theory about why this is taking so long outside of just Aaron Rodgers is Aaron Rodgers.
Well, I don't know.
Did you said so, I thought you said something to me off air about like
he talking about he got all these personal stuff and with people in his life. So I'm like, all right, cool, whatever.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't really care.
I don't
Yeah.
I don't really either. Care. The only like I care to the extent that I wish Kirk Cousins played for them.
Yeah.
You know
what
I mean?
Because the thing about it is, I think like,
that's the point to which I care.
Kirk is that kind of quarterback that's in limbo because right now it seems like Pittsburgh is the only team out there. I mean, they're not trading to New Orleans. So it just seems like Pittsburgh is the only logical place.
When Aaron Rodgers gave a quote on New Orleans,
yeah,
he said he doesn't want to live in Louisiana.
What's that about?
Yeah, like, Louisiana seems pretty cool.
Yeah, but it's what he is referring to, I think, is – I mean, look, I know it because I said this on social media too. Look, heat and humidity is not for the weak. And he's referring to the hot. Then somebody hit me up with, he's from Southern California. Not the same.
Oh, it's
no,
not.
It is definitely
not the same.
It is definitely
We don't want your Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, it is definitely not the
no,
same.
No, those are very different types of heat.
Oh, my God. Somebody really said that?
Southern California is warm.
Yes.
But, like, comfortably warm.
Breezy?
Yeah.
There's an ocean.
Yeah, you got the ocean breeze. It's a dry heat. Yeah, it's pretty nice. That's a person who's never been to the South in the summertime, I believe. All right. Anyway, here's what Raheem Morris said about the guys that are hopefully going to play for his team.
I think I just like to watch him, how he's been searching for the knowledge, you know, the system, putting it all together, being able to go out there and formulate how he's going to run his program, what he needs to do, how he's going to continue to get better. I think him, like, having a thought process of what it's going to look like for him in the next 3 weeks of OTA days, and then the next 5 weeks after that when we take our break, you know, coming back to training camp. I think all doing it for the first time as a starter for him is still a big learning curve, but I definitely like his approach. I like his open mindset. I like his ability to go out there and really get the guys going every day. I like his ability to sit back and debrief on those things when you ask him those questions. I like his ability to really figure it out and how he wants to do it better. With each individual part of his group, whether it be the team or whether it just be offense. He's a really conscientious young man, and that's just something I see him growing at every single day.
Yeah, I mean, you learn on the job. He's learning on the job, making this team
his. He's talking
his,
about Michael Penix.
Yeah, making
there.
This team his team, and you know, looking forward to hear what he – because he's going to speak today after the session. And so hopefully you get some more insight on what's going on in his mind. But it's his football team. It's his football team, and he is in because of where – the people upstairs are as far as where their job is, they need him to be on. You know what I mean? And it ain't no I know he played a little bit last year, but it ain't no like, because it's gonna be growing pains. This is what football is. You're gonna have those type of things, but it's how about how you get through those. And Michael Penix is, they got to hit the ground running. There's so much pressure on him for them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, he plays well, they stay. He's going to be if he plays bad.
Oh, yeah.
If he don't play like he and continue to grow into what a lot of us think he's probably going to be as an NFL quarterback.
I mean, it's growing pains, but they have to be growing pains in wins.
Yeah.
For the most part.
Yeah, you can't be like, oh, well, he's still a young quarterback. I know that's five in a row. We're still bringing along the young quarterback. Oh,
nope.
Hell no.
Nope.
That
luxury of a first-year starter doesn't exist.
Oh, hell no.
With the situation going on.
It damn sure does not.
The coaching staff and front office and all that. No, but that, I mean, what he's saying there is interesting just from the standpoint of, like, obviously he's been through it once as a member of the team, but now it's different with him being QB1,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, last year Kirk was there, and Kirk was the starter, and he was kind of learning from him and doing all the things he needed to do behind him, but knowing that he wasn't going to be the starting quarterback and, you know, wasn't going to be needing to have a voice in a lot of that this part of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Now he is that guy.
Yes.
So this is – even though he's done it, this is all new to him in the role that he's in now. So good to hear that it sounds like it's going well. Hopefully it continues to. All right, here's Roddy White. This was really interesting. Roddy White, Harry Douglas, Julio Jones on their podcast that they've started. Roddy White, I mean, we know him.
Full episode drops today.
Full episode drops today.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Legacy Locker Room is what the podcast is called. And, I mean, no secret to the fact that Kyle Shanahan and Roddy White didn't have a good relationship.
Yes.
The 1 year where they were together. Here's Roddy White talking about some of that.
You got to be real with me, man, because I'm about to lose my shit. He was like, I just don't see you as, like, the top four option on the team.
Oh, Lord.
I said, what? He was like, yeah. He was like, yeah, if the game was on the line, I would throw the ball to who? I would throw the ball to Jacob Tammy. I would throw the ball to Leonard Hankerson.
He ain't say that to your face.
This is what he told me. And then he said, and then I'll run a play for free to throw the ball to free. And then you.
He told you that?
He told me that.
All right. There's a couple of things. They did not get along. Mm. And I seen Roddy sit talk before, like, yeah, I understand who's going to get the ball, but damn, I ain't chopped liver. And if he said Hankerson or Tammy, I would have punched him in his face.
Sounds like he did say that.
I would punch him in his face. Are you serious right now? And that right there seems like that's just a petty by Kyle, by him saying that to Rod. But, yeah, I mean, that's just but that's him. That's Kyle. You know, he's an arrogant little you-know-what.
He is, especially then. Yes. Doesn't it feel like whatever needed to happen, like, because him and Matt Ryan didn't have a great relationship that first year either. Nope. And then, obviously, they sat down in the offseason and got on the same page, went on to MVP season for Matt and all that. It feels like maybe somewhere in that some maturity took place.
Yep.
Maybe. I don't know.
It had to.
Because it seems like he's a little bit of a different dude than he was
then. Yes.
Now.
He is.
But like, yeah, that's pretty wild.
That's wild. And the conversation should have been, you know, I believe that, you know, when we're two men talking or something like that, but I'm going to have to go see DQ. And I'm going to say, hey, Dan, your boy over here tripping, man. Your boy over here tripping. And then I do remember that game where he made it a point to try to embarrass Roddy. To me, that's what it looked like. I mean, you want the ball. Obviously, you want the ball. But it just seemed like he went out of his way.
Yeah. Because what was it? He targeted him something like three or four times in a row to start the game.
And it was, and to me, we all want target, but for some reason that seemed different.
It just felt
different
for that to happen then at that point of the season, knowing what had led up to that, and then knowing conversations like that had taken place and stuff.
It just felt different.
It's also wild to me to like be coaching in an NFL game with that, like doing petty stuff like that in a game that counts.
Yes,
you know what I mean.
Yes,
like is that. That's crazy, right? Like, that doesn't happen.
It was just a weird.
You ever seen anything like that
before? No, I have not.
Like, I don't really like this guy. I'm going to show him.
Yeah. And it was a weird, weird, weird ass game. I do remember sitting there watching that game and not realizing what had happened between it.
Sure.
Just watching the game, like, it's kind of weird, huh?
It's pretty weird.
Okay. It seems like he's trying to make a point.
Yeah.
But hey, it's all over and everything now. But yeah, that was just. To have that conversation, and then you throw the name. Okay, Julio. Yeah, okay, I got it.
Sure.
But then you're talking about Tammy, and you said Hankerson, like, for real?
Hankerson.
Like for real, for real. Like, come on, man.
Yeah.
Come on, man. That's just, you know, that's one of the things where it got to be a lot of loud talking, and somebody got to come in there because I'm about to, you know, because if not, I'm going to swing on this guy.
Yeah, because, I mean, at this point, this is Roddy's final year. Yeah. Like, this is a pretty well-respected dude in the organization's history.
Yes.
Now, he was a couple years removed from the 1,000-yard seasons because he had 1,000-yard seasons in a row.
Mm-hmm.
1,351 in 2012 was his best year. That's a great damn year.
Mm-hmm.
He was a couple years removed from that, but, like, he had fallen all the
Hankerson
way off.
And Tammy? Like,
and
like,
then we're going to run a wheel route for free before we do. We're going to throw it to him out of the backfield.
That's just basically just – Yeah,
we're not doing that.
Well, yeah, man.
It's crazy.
Damn.
Crazy.
Come on, man.
That's a great story, though. That's what you're looking for from podcasts like that.
Yeah, man.
That's a hell of a story from Roddy White. A little bit more detail from the final year of his Falcons career. All right, we'll come back. We'll let you hear from Greg Sankey, the commissioner of the SEC, talking about he knows good and well what's the best for college football, all right? He doesn't need any damn coordinated press releases to tell him about it. We'll talk some NBA playoffs as well. Sports Radio 92.9.
Now at Verizon, they're locking in low prices for 3 years guaranteed on my plan. And you can get a single line for just $45 a month when you switch and bring your phone. That's their best price ever on unlimited welcome with auto pay plus taxes and fees. Guaranteed for 3 years. Because at Verizon, they got you. Visit your local Verizon store today. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Price guarantee applies to then current base monthly rate. Additional terms and conditions apply.
Taco to go, taco to,
and a big cube.
Taco to go, taco to go.
Quick Trip Taco, just $2.99. Comes with a big cube, they steal so fine. Brisket breakfast, so much to choose for $2.99. You really can't lose.
Taco to go, taco to,
this deal legit.
Taco to go.
Only at Quick Trip.
Taco to go, taco to go, taco to go,
$2.99
to go.
Again, ba 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 ba. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, midday show with Andy and Randy with you here Tuesday afternoon. We'll let you hear from SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey in just a couple of minutes. back into some NBA playoff conversation as well. Great game in the Western Conference Finals last night between the Thunder and the Timberwolves. Do want to remind you that Sports Radio 92.9 The Game's third annual Father's Day dinner is coming, and we want you to join us on Friday, June 13th at Lazy Dog Restaurant and Bar Perimeter as we celebrate Father's Day with you. Go to 92.9thegame.com, click the contest page, and tell us why you want to treat your dad to a special dinner with the 92.9 The Game staff. Or, if you want, tell us why you want to bring your grandfather or your kid or your coach or anyone important in your life. Presented by Atlanta Motor Speedway, where NASCAR returns on June 28th for the Quaker State 400. And brought to you by Lazy Dog Restaurant and Bar. Eat, drink, and good times. Make sure you enter now for your chance to win at 92.9thegame.com.
But real quick, guys, I want to get this second sound. Going back, Kirk Cousins, more or less, more information is coming out. He is not attending. Now, he's not there today.
Okay.
So he might come tomorrow.
Okay.
I doubt it, but he might come tomorrow. But going back to when the season started, there's no way I would have thought that he was to be on this roster
right now. No, me either.
There's no way I would have thought that we could be still talking about him as a part of the Falcons. No,
I was pretty sure that, what was it, March, what was it, 10th or 16th or whatever that day was supposed to be with his contract thing. I thought that was going to be the day. Yep. Then I was like, all right, that came and went.
The draft.
Draft weekend.
Yeah.
Got to be draft weekend. Well, that came and went. And now here we are.
The Falcons are waiting on some team to help them out.
That's right.
And ain't no team willing to do that.
Not right now.
Not right now.
Not right now. This is gonna take an extreme circumstance.
Yeah, especially if you're talking about you want some team to take on money that they don't have to take on.
Yeah, you need them to be desperate in order to do it. And as much as it would be nice to not have to worry about where in the world is Kirk Cousins today,
right?
It would be silly of them at this point to have gotten this far down the road and then just be like, we'll do whatever, let's trade him wherever.
Yeah.
Like at this point now, like. Maybe I'm talking myself into this. I don't know. At this point, you may end up with a little bit of leverage if a team does have something bad happen.
Right.
Because in order for a team to want Kirk Cousins at this point, it's either going to be the Steelers because Aaron Rodgers doesn't go there, mm-hmm. or another team has a disastrous injury in training camp or preseason or something,
right.
which obviously you never would hope for. But from a Falcons perspective, you don't hope for it. But if it happens, then you take advantage of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that could be August.
Yeah.
I mean, it would have to be August to be training camp, preseason. That could be September.
Yeah.
You know?
It could be like, I don't feel like this is an any day now.
I don't either.
Yeah. It's just one of those, it's just like, it's a phase of things where, okay, mini camp, because in a couple weeks, once that's over, it's no more football until training camp.
Yeah. That's that, like, how many weeks is that?
Like
six or seven or something week period of time where you just wish, you pray you don't see any Falcons news on TV because that's only bad news when stuff happens that time of year. So it probably wouldn't happen then.
Yeah.
And then you'd be coming to training camp and would he be there? I don't know. Like, there's so much to be excited about with this football team.
I'm just curious if he's going to be at the mini because all this has been voluntary. I don't know when I'm sure they're all mandatory mini camps all around the same time. League-wide. If he's not there. That'd be the one.
That's the first thing that's mandatory outside of incentives for workout clauses and stuff like that. But, yeah, the other thing, too, is not even from a Falcons perspective. If it's the Steelers, at some point, they're going to want their starting quarterback at stuff.
You would think so.
You would think, right? Like, you would want, whether it's Aaron Rodgers or Kirk Cousins or whoever it's going to be, like, you would want him to be there with his teammates getting ready for the season. The alternative to that is something crazy happens, like we said, or nothing happens, and they've said it all along. Maybe they were telling the truth all along. We're comfortable with Kirk Cousins being our backup.
Yep.
I never believed it, and I still don't.
I don't either.
But if it's week one, and, you know, he's standing over there with a clipboard, I guess I'll have to accept it.
Because it's like he's there until.
Yeah.
He's there
at that
until.
Point, I'm still going to be like, I don't know. They might trade him at halftime.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I don't buy it.
Yeah.
And maybe I don't want to buy it. Maybe that's what it is. All right. Let's hear from Greg Sankey. They're having the SEC meetings, annual SEC meetings, down there in Destin. They're always just happy that they pick such a smart place to have the meetings. I'm like, good for them. Good for them going to the beach and getting some business done. Here he is talking.
Look at the track record. We didn't need 12. Did we say to four, we would have had half the four last year. I don't need lectures from others about good of the game. I don't lecture others about good of the game. And coordinating press releases about good of the game. Okay, you can issue your press statement, but I'm actually looking for ideas to move us forward.
Yeah, so there you have a
100 more days, and then we get football. That's all I want to do.
90-something.
I just want to watch football, man.
Yeah, yeah. The good thing about these sort of, like that there isn't really entirely football-related. The good thing about some of what's going to happen at these meetings is they are going to determine how much football you're going to get, right?
Right.
They're going to decide whether or not they're going to go to 9 SEC conference games, which I would love. Mm-hmm. I don't know how you feel about that.
I don't care one way or the other.
You know, okay.
I really don't.
I think that would be cool. That's one more game in a great conference.
Right.
Better odds than not that it'll be a pretty good game most years. And then at some point, probably in June, when they all get back together, we're going to find out whether or not they go to a 16-game or 16-team playoff, which would also mean more football at the end of the season. I think those things are related.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think the SEC is going to a 9-game conference schedule without there being a 16-game playoff or 16-team playoff, and a guaranteed 4 at least.
Mm-hmm.
Because what he was getting at was 4 actually might not be enough, really.
Yeah. Because like, we would have had half of them.
And that's this is the hard part about all of this, of just the idea of what's best for the game in general is like, what does that even mean? Depending on who you talk to, that means something different, right?
Everybody has different perspectives of it because it's all about how does this benefit me more? It's good for the game if it benefits me.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm in the game and it benefits me. Yeah. Exactly. And so everyone's coming at it from that perspective, including him. The most powerful man in college football right now is chiefly responsible for what's best for the SEC,
mm-hmm.
not what's best for college football.
No.
And people would say, well, what's best for college football is, but no, it isn't.
No, we're not.
It's not. What's best for the SEC is not always what's best for college football. It sometimes is, mm-hmm. sure, but not always. So the guy that's the most powerful guy, him and Tony and Battiti with the Big Ten, are looking out for what's best for their member schools,
but that's what
which
paid,
is what their job
paid,
is.
Yeah.
The problem
exactly.
is they're also now seemingly in charge of the future of college football.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you have, just like the players, like, I don't blame the players for taking advantage of this format, this structure that the sport is governed by right now. It's what's best for them.
Right.
Like, it sucks for teams and fans sometimes, but so it was what's best for him. He got more money.
You always got to think for yourself. I understand that part.
Yeah, but that's why somebody needs to be in charge of not thinking for themselves.
But that's, who's going to be that person that doesn't look at what's in the best interest of themselves personally,
exactly.
and then of the whole group. I know everybody wants Nick Saban to do this.
Whether it's him or somebody
Nick
else.
Nick ain't doing it.
Somebody's got to be the commissioner.
I know they're talking about bringing somebody else in or whatever. They got to figure out somebody who doesn't have the loyalty to a league.
Yeah.
All right? Now, at the same time, you can't alienate those lead dogs to try and make it more balanced for the Big 12 and ACC.
Right.
They got their own problem.
They
and
do.
They are in the position they're in for a specific reason. So when you look at it from that standpoint, that's why I say it'll never be equal.
No.
It won't.
It never has been.
It never has
been
and never will be. This ain't nothing new. That's why I keep saying, damn, I can't wait for the damn games to just start.
Yeah, look, I mean, there's no equal in college football. It's not coming, and it hasn't happened. Like, that's just, you know, like that, I don't know, tell me when that was.
I'm just assuming that now.
You'll surprise me.
This super conference
it.
Thing is going to happen sooner rather than later.
And I think it should, because then at least we'll have an answer, mm-hmm. you know? It won't be equal. It still won't be equal, because teams will get left out, mm-hmm. and you'll be screwed. And then even the teams that are in the super conference that don't have as much NIL money or whatever as teams that do are going to be getting their rosters plucked.
Mm-hmm.
Or unless that there's, you know, some sort of solution to that where there's collectively bargained contracts or whatever. But like that's the problem, is the idea of what's best for the game is the most fractured definition that we've ever had right now. Because if you ask me what's best for the game, it's going to probably be different than what you say about what's best for the game. It's certainly going to be different than a player would say, or a coach, or a commissioner. That's why, and again, it seems, that's why they're all leaning on the federal government to try to come up with something.
They need somebody to help them.
The problem is, smart states like Kentucky and others, not Kentucky, Tennessee and others that will do this, passed their own legislation that said we don't have to follow whatever mm-hmm. that rule is.
Until they get that out of there, that one right there, it'll never be equal.
Well, they're going to pass it, and it's going to be the House settlement, and it's going to be revenue sharing and all that. But then Tennessee was like, yeah, we passed a rule that said we don't have to follow that.
Exactly.
And every state is going to do that. So it has to be college football specific. Not not legal,
mm-hmm.
not government. You have to get someone in charge of this thing from an actual college football perspective. And until they do that, it's going to be stuff like this.
Like, is there a candidate out there? I'm sure it is.
Sure.
I'm sure.
I mean, let Sankey be it. He would have to be in charge
but that's
of
what I'm saying.
Not the SEC.
And that's what I was thinking before we had the conversation as far as him being over the SEC. I mean, that's a prime job.
Yeah.
What about this job that you're talking about, maybe putting him at has its advantages over just being the ACC.
Right, because it's one of those things where it's a job that's never existed.
Exactly.
Right? So how can someone do it, but no one's ever done it? So now you just have to be like, all right, who would be most qualified to do something like that?
Can he take his personal feelings aside from the conference that he's represented so well?
Yeah.
And be able to
maybe
take something away from him.
Right.
And even out everything else more. Yeah. Like, this is what he would have to do.
He would have to.
Yes, he would have to do that.
You would have to have the actual greater good of college, which again, the greater good of college football is not his concern right now. The greater good of the teams that play in the SEC are his concern right now. And he's done a great job at that.
If it's in a 12-team playoff, if he can get 8 teams in, he would.
Of course he would.
Yeah.
Yeah. If they can do a 16-team playoff and 16 automatic bids are from the SEC, he would do that.
Yeah, he'd do that.
He'd be like, sure, that seems fair.
Yeah, that's about right.
I don't know. If you look at it like this, we ran some data. And no offense to the other conferences, but because that's his job. His job is to get what's best for all of the teams that are in the SEC and as much money and all that stuff.
What? Ryan Neasel is practicing with the Falcons today, but won't be added to the roster until he signs his tender agreement. Then why the hell are you out there practicing?
I don't know.
What the hell wrong with y'all, man?
But at least they got a center.
They are not going to take that into consideration. Like, hey, you know what? Look at this guy. You know what? Yeah. Let's give him a long-term
deal. Nor are they going to give him a long-term deal if he somehow gets hurt doing this stuff. So, no. Hey, but at least they got a center. Somebody had to snap the ball to Penix, right? All right, we'll come back. We'll get to the back page with Bo. Spent a couple minutes on the NBA playoffs from last night as well, right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Now at Verizon, they're locking in low prices for 3 years guaranteed on my plan. And you can get a single line for just $45 a month when you switch and bring your phone. That's their best price ever on unlimited welcome with autopay plus taxes and fees. Guaranteed for 3 years. Because at Verizon, they got you. Visit your local Verizon store today. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months. With a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Price guarantee applies to then current base monthly rate. Additional terms and conditions apply.
Taco to go. Taco to.
And a big Q.
Taco to go.
Taco to go.
We just review.
Quick Trip Taco just $2.99. Comes with a big Q. They steal so fine. Risk it breakfast. So much to choose for $2.99. You really can't
taco,
lose.
Taco to go.
And it's away from getting back into the big story of the day to kick off the 1 o'clock hour. Very exciting weekend for the Braves. Unfortunately, not a very successful weekend because they still lost the series to the Padres, and they're 2 games under .500. But a day off yesterday, back at it with Spencer Strider on the mound tonight against the Phillies, so we'll get back to that. Brandon Adams is going to join us at 1:20 as well. More college football conversation with him as, obviously, coaches, commissioners, people down there in Destin for the SEC spring meetings, and some headlines, some quotes coming out of that. So we'll get BA's thoughts on everything that he's heard. And then we'll get to an AMA an hour from right now as well.
We going back to last night's playoff game, because we talked about Anthony Edwards and everything. And from that standpoint, he's playing. He's taking what they're giving him. They scored 126 damn points in regulation and lost by 2 points. Mm-hmm. Their biggest thing is that he's got to shoot more. And I think that's what everybody's looking at, him not shooting. 13 shots. And they're everywhere. He's talking about their hands and all that. Like, everywhere he goes, there's another guy there. When he beats one guy off the dribble, here comes another guy. But the other guys did play well. Now, Randall has, I mean, he got to give you more than 5 points. He's arguably supposed to be the second best player. Had 5 points and 5 damn turnovers.
Yeah.
So, like, Ant can't do that. Now, Shea did what MVP players do. Had a horrible game. They had a horrible game three. But that's why they always say it only counts as one. Lost 40 points, but it counted as one loss.
Yep.
He went just absolute berserk last night.
He was completely in control. Yep. I mean, and that's the thing that he does to those games when they get a little chaotic and the other team's trying to make the comeback they're trying to make. And Minnesota outscored him 41-38 in the fourth quarter, which was, if you didn't watch any of that game, just go on YouTube and watch the highlights of the fourth quarter. It was incredible. But yeah, I mean, Anthony Edwards is right when he says, I made the right play, or I took what the defense was giving me. The problem with that is, like, yeah, like, if this was February, for sure.
Right.
Like, you found the open shooter, and Dante DiVincenzo made a bunch of shots, and Nikhil Alexander-Walker made a bunch of shots, and you guys got back in the game in the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
Problem is, there comes a time, and Shea did it. Shea did it last night, where it's like, all right, I just have to sort of start controlling this game myself.
Right.
Whether that's getting to the free throw line or getting to my spots or whatever it is. And they were doing a really good job on the broadcast of highlighting how he just kind of he'll lull you to sleep almost. Like, he'll walk his defender damn near to the free throw line and then hard dribble step back bucket. Mm-hmm. Like, and they're letting him do it, and I get it, but like he's just such an unconventional style of offensive player that he can get away with doing that. Like, Ant-Man just has to find a way to be more assertive for himself. Yeah. Like we were just talking about with Greg Sankey. What's best for the team is what's best for you,
yes.
Ant-Man.
Yes.
You have to be a little bit more selfish in these moments because he was a little bit more selfish in the second half and really kind of forced the
game
issue.
Game three, he took over the
absolutely.
Game. From the get-go, defense starting the offense, thing like that. Jay's balling, but his other dudes are balling too. And that just ain't the case for Ant right now. Now, again, they scored 126, and Julius Randle had 5 points and 5 turnovers.
Yeah, it's tough, though, man. If you get 21 from Dante DiVincenzo, 23 from Nikhil Alexander-Walker,
you got to win that game.
And 22 from Jaden McDaniels.
You got to win that game.
Those are all really, really nice players. Don't get me wrong, but, like, those are others.
You got
to
win that game,
you have to win that game.
Got
to
win that game.
But when you get 21 combined from Julius Randle and Anthony Edwards, you're probably not going to win that game. So – and the other thing is the Thunder are just better than them.
Yes, like, at the end of the day.
Yeah, at the end of the day, the Thunder are just a better basketball team. Like, the Timberwolves are really good, and I think Ant can probably will them to another one, but I don't think he can do I don't know that they're going to be able to make even a seven-game series out of this series. The Thunder just, man, they come at you in waves,
and they
man.
Defend.
They defend their ass off.
They defend. And it's like one thing. It's one thing about one guy guarding you the whole game. They throw so many bodies at Ant-Man.
Yeah.
So many bodies.
They got guys that are perfect. Like, Lu Dort is perfectly happy taking 3 shots all night if I get to guard Anthony Edwards and try to make it hard on him.
Yes.
Same thing. I mean, they got guys coming off the bench that do the same thing. So, yeah, man, I'm not saying the Timberwolves are a selfish team because, of course, they're not. But, like, it's really helpful to just have 6 guys on your roster that are that unselfish, mm-hmm. like the Thunder have.
Play their role.
It's like, all right, you know, Jalen Williams, Chet, SGA, they'll probably do the majority of the scoring. Let's just play our asses off on defense and rebound the basketball. We're probably going to go to the NBA Finals. Yeah. So, yeah, man. Looks they're 1 win away from that. Pacers lead the series 2-1 over the Knicks.
Hey, Pop's back in the building tonight, baby.
Really?
Yeah, man. They let Pop's back in.
Huh.
Yeah. They lifted his ban.
What?
That's great.
This is like when we tell our kids they have to go to timeout.
Yes.
And then we're like, oh, I feel bad for him. Let him back in.
He has 4 seats?
The man wasn't even banned for the whole playoffs? Yeah.
They are specifically not giving him floor seats. He's in a suite somewhere.
Okay, but like again, that's we're negotiating, right?
They let him in the building.
Only for home games.
You were supposed to, right, again.
They can't go to New York.
This is when you tell your kids you can't have candy for breakfast, and then it's like, okay, just a couple jelly beans.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, what are we doing?
Oh,
the man didn't even have to be out for the whole playoffs.
No.
Tried to fight Giannis.
Tried to actually walk on the court.
What are we doing?
Well, I walked on the court.
All right, let's get to the back page with the birthday boy.
He walked on the court.
Bo Johnson.
And went nose to nose with him.
What if Giannis would have just knocked him out? Would he be? He probably would be back in faster. Huh. Real the.
That's great.
The long arm of the Adam Silver law,
yeah,
I guess.
Man.
All right. Anyway, what's
Whatever.
Up, Bo? Oh, this was brought to you by Salomon Brothers Jewelry. Go to one of their 3 locations or shop online at SolomonBrothers.com or on Instagram at Salomon Brothers. Hello, Bo.
Good not great weekend for the Lady Blue Devils as we finished the quest for the best tournament with a record of 2-2. We get sent home. If I had to guess, we probably finished 4th or 5th. One Thursday night, came out Friday and mollywopped a team, put up 2 touchdowns, beat a team 15-0.
Wow.
It's very hard to hold a team scoreless.
Yeah.
Super proud of my girls on Friday. Bats were on fire. Turn around, come back to the park Saturday morning. Bats were still alive. But the gloves weren't. Give up 5 runs on about 3 errors and lose by 2 runs, 13-11.
Oh.
You hate to lose that way.
Yeah.
But we have an impromptu practice last night on Memorial Day. Most of the team shows up. And I think we got a lot of kinks worked out. So that's a great thing about, you know, the girls.
No days off, Bo.
No days off, man.
Well, so you're saying that tournament's over.
That tournament's over. We start a new one tonight.
Oh, we start a new one tonight. Okay, great.
In Buford.
Great.
At Buford, which this is a probably the bougiest park that we've ever played in. All turf fields.
Oh, really?
Check this. No gum or sunflower seeds allowed on the field or in the dugout. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm a big seed guy.
I buy it.
I buy that.
But come on, man.
I buy that. Yeah,
just
I buy
pay
that.
Somebody to come sweep them up.
Buy that.
We had a gum incident in the backseat of my car yesterday.
Yeah, gum incidents aren't great.
I think we're going to start banning gum from the element, too.
Yes.
And look, I get it, but, you know, you can have somebody come in here and clean up afterwards.
That's the new, that's the nice stuff of their dog.
They are, yeah, I can tell.
That's the nice stuff of their
dog. Chew on my finger out there.
Yeah, what are you going to do? Even if you have a cup, no?
No,
I don't mean
not.
Like an athletic cup. Like a
now,
cup
I'm sure that if I, you know, coaches, they would probably allow. But then you're crossing a gray area line.
Yeah, and, yeah, and you want to set an example too. So,
but
yeah,
we play. We start a new tournament tonight. This is the pre-Tri-County. If we win this whole tournament, we end up over in Smyrna at Truist Park, either playing there or around in East Cobb somewhere.
That would be awesome.
And then the one we start in 2 weeks, the tournament play in, also feeds into that one because we're with Braves Country Baseball Softball. Okay. So. All roads lead to Truist Park, but we got to win first. We are playing the team tonight that put us out on Saturday.
Oh, really?
The team we handed all those runs to.
Payback's a mug.
We play them again tonight. So we'll see.
It should be better fielding conditions on turf. There's not going to be any bad bounces or anything like that. So
it should not. We'll see.
Yeah.
But I mean, the ball does bounce differently, though.
It bounces different.
It does.
That's
way
true.
Differently.
Yeah.
But
especially
as long as there's no rain or lightning, we'll get it in. Yeah. Rain's pretty crappy all day today. Speaking of softball, the big girls, the Women's College World Series, the pool of eight is set. Georgia does not get it done yesterday versus Florida. They had a winner-go-home game yesterday versus Florida to advance. So Florida comes out of that super regional. All these series are starting on Friday. You've got Texas and Florida, Tennessee, Oklahoma, Oklahoma being the four-time national champion. You got Ole Miss versus Texas Tech. That's going to be a pretty cool one because Najee Kennedy plays for Texas Tech. That's the girl that got $1.2 million dollars to jump over from Stanford.
Right.
And then Oregon and UCLA round out the night on Friday night. Five teams represent the SEC in the Women's College World Series. Speaking of college diamond sports, the regionals for the Men's College World Series tournament are now set. Some notable matchups. These are all on Friday as well. The Athens Regional. Hosted by UGA, they will be taking on Binghamton. Oklahoma State and Duke are also in that one. Georgia Tech, you will find them in Oxford, Mississippi at the regional being hosted by Ole Miss. Georgia Tech takes on Western Kentucky on Friday. LSU is hosting a regional with Little Rock, Rhode Island, Dallas Baptist. And in the Conway regional, that's Coastal Carolina hosting a regional. That's where you're going to find the University of Florida.
Okay.
Abe's team.
Kid from Ole Miss won the NCAA Golf National Championship yesterday.
Ole Miss is riding high.
Rocking the Hoochie Daddy shorts.
Oh, was he?
They were all the way up there. Skin tight and high.
Tucked with the tighties?
Skin tight polo, skin tight Hoochie Daddies. Just won, got the trophy, so.
I guess it was effective.
Yeah.
So, in other pretty cool baseball news, so we know that Mark DeRosa is going to head up the United States team in the World Baseball Classic. Over the weekend, Andrew Jones announced as the manager of the Netherlands team for World Baseball Classic in 2026. So, as you probably know, Curaçao is a territory of the Netherlands.
Yes.
He's got quite a roster. Curaçao or the Netherlands national team is always pretty loaded. So, Ozzy's going to play. Bogarts is going to play. Andrew told me over the weekend he's going to talk to Rafael Devers when they go to Boston or when Boston comes here. But also on that team, you got Kenley Jansen, Jurickson, and Profar. Netherlands always loaded.
Profar
with some,
allowed to play?
I would assume it's next year.
Oh.
So, assuming he passes all necessary tests.
Okay. Because I know when he comes back, he gets the rest of the season, but then he can't play in the postseason.
Yeah.
I don't know if that extended to the World Baseball Classic.
I don't think it extends
not.
All the way to – I don't know. It might. I guess I'll have to look into that so I can give you some accurate answers.
I was listening to a little bit of John Fricke over the weekend, and he confused me because I didn't know who he was talking about, and then I put two and two together. He refers to Profar exclusively as Pedfar.
Oh, Pedfar.
And I was like, PED. I thought he was saying thought he was accusing him of something else.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's a tough nickname.
Yeah, I'm going to think about it. Maybe switch that one up a little bit.
But yeah, performance enhancing drugs far. I get it.
Damn freaky.
So you know how y'all
I was
always.
Like, what's he calling him?
Damn freaky.
What's he know? What's he saying?
A theme on this show is always that people want more football. And y'all have come out and just said how, the NFL has just straight up bullied the NBA.
Yep.
And
they took it.
Jason Kelce has your back on that one. On the New Heights podcast this week, Jason Kelce talks about how everybody just wants more football in the NBA. He might just have to step aside.
Now, I'm also just a fan of playing on more primetime times. Like, that's when I'm watching TV, and I like it when football's on the television. So let's keep putting good football games on television when everybody's watching. I mean, I think it's just good for the game. Let's keep taking over all the holidays. We're taking over Thanksgiving, Christmas, NBA. You're never getting that back. I mean, it's the way it is.
Yeah, he's right. We said it when it
it's
happened.
The way it is.
We're like, well, they're going to like that.
Yeah.
Like, the NFL is going to enjoy that audience. Because remember, they had three games the first, because it was a Sunday.
Yes.
Right? So they had three games that day, and the Sunday night game was a bad game. And the ratings they got in that matchup were better than all of the five NBA games combined.
Like, combined.
For a bad NFL game. Now they're starting to handpick good ones to put them on Christmas. So, yeah, I don't know. What's next? New Year's Day every single year?
Something.
Put an NFL game
something like
that
will happen. Sure.
What other holidays we got?
MLK's big.
Yeah. How long are we from having a New Year's Eve celebration?
It's just
going to
take that from basketball, too.
It's the season's over. You know what? We're going to have a game on that day anyways.
Yeah. Maybe we'll like have a designated playoff game
or something like that.
The season's over at this point, then. Maybe not soon.
Dude, you know? It's unbelievable.
You get an extra bye and an extra game, you could go to the second weekend in January.
They're going to try.
Yeah. Oh, basketball, you've enjoyed having those MLK Day. Not anymore.
Yeah.
Not anymore. That's ours now. All right.
All right. A couple more people that are not at OTAs today. Kyle Pitts and Caleb McGarry are not there.
How come?
So it's volunteer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Volunteer.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, you got guys that don't have contracts that are there.
Yeah.
And you got guys that do have contracts that aren't.
Yeah, it could be something personal.
There you go.
Could be a personal day.
There you
go. I'm sure our guy up there, Joe Patrick.
Yeah,
we'll get to the bottom of
it. Seems like it would because like there wouldn't be any contracts.
No.
Neither one of those guys is holding out.
Definitely not something. Yeah, it has to be something.
We're not doing that.
It has to be something.
All right, we'll come back. We'll get to the big story of the day to kick off the 1 o'clock hour. Acuna is back, and boy, was that fun. Unfortunately, everything else kind of looked the same. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Now at Verizon, they're locking in low prices for 3 years guaranteed on my plan. And you can get a single line for just $45 a month when you switch and bring your phone. That's their best price ever on unlimited welcome with auto pay plus taxes and fees. Guaranteed for 3 years. Because at Verizon, they got you. Visit your local Verizon store today. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Price guarantee applies to then current base monthly rate. Additional terms and conditions apply.
Taco to go. Taco to.
And a big queue.
Taco to go.
Taco to go.
We just
Quick Trip Taco just $2.99. Comes with a big queue. This deal so fine. Risk it breakfast. So much to choose for $2.99. You really can't
taco,
lose.
Taco to go. Taco to.
This deal legit.
Taco to go. Taco.
Only at Quick Trip.
Taco to go, taco to go, taco to go,
$2.99.
Taco to go.